You know, he didn't drop a dime on him. He saved his life. You know.
Yes. If Mullah Omar had only said that about his son-in-law.
You know, I don't play with those cats.
No.
I play with Marty.
No.
Those cats are somewhere else.
Yeah, ooh, where are they?
Where are they?
They're in the disco cave.
Well, this an article you might...
That was Steve Van Israel for the people out in Radioland.
And
doing your job for you, Bob.
The Reverend Billy... Well, my job. Some job. The Reverend Billy is here beseeching you to join his congregation at Charis on Sunday and to join with him in celebration of the fact that God loves a good community center. And
boy,
Charis,
I hope God does. Whatever form God takes, it's time for God to be on the side of Charis this week. They're threatening eviction on Wednesday. At 2 p.m., children, are you listening? Put your hands on the radio. At 2 p.m., we're gathering at St. Mark's in the Bowery with Reclaim the Streets, with Direction Action Network, with the Moore Gardens Coalition, with Time's Up, the bicyclists, the silent, hilarious bicyclists who cause traffic jams throughout New York City and take the place back from Giuliani's suburban cars. We're meeting at St. Mark's in the Bowery at 2, and we're parading.
Any roller skaters?
Toward, I'm sure.
Skateboarders?
Anything, yeah, unicyclists. There'll be holy rollers.
And how about those guys?
I don't think you're welcome in your big boat of a Cadillac, though, Bob. I think the idea is to get out of that.
That big boat is sunk, let me tell you.
What happened? I didn't hear about this.
It stopped.
So you're on bicycles now.
It dropped.
That's why you were late today. You're on bicycles.
Well, let me tell you the story. I must tell you the story.
Hallelujah.
It stopped in the middle of the Holland Tunnel. In the middle of the Holland Tunnel. I mean, there was a long line of cars behind me and no cars in front of me for quite a while. And someone came over finally. And this was before September 11th, or I probably would have been shot.
Right.
Yeah, but so they finally like came over and the car cooled down enough so that I could actually drive it out of the tunnel, got it to the station, came in late, told the story on the air, and someone named Darryl, and I'm sorry to say, I don't know whether his name is Johnson or Jackson, came to help me at the station, called up. He, this guy with, he had a black DeVille Cadillac SUV, and he came up to the station and he called the tow truck for me and he let me use his cell phone and he, you know, helped me, you know, to think of it as just a little odd dancing lesson.
That's a great
given.
Story.
Yeah, and then he said he was going to go home to Battery Park City where he lived. And I haven't heard from him since. I don't know.
I wonder how he fared.
I wonder, indeed, how he fared. I hope he's okay. I wish he would call. I had his number. He gave me his telephone number because I didn't believe that the story, you know, I thought it was just some guy putting me on. And he said, well, no, it's true. I'll help you. Here's my number. You can call me back. Gave me his cell phone number. I called it the next week. Every day, or after September 11th, anyway. And I spoke to him on it once before September 11th. He was going to come up to the station the next week. And then the next week was September.
Well, he anticipated how we were helping each other. We were helping each other. So
ringing.
We were crossing borders.
Doesn't answer.
We were crossing borders and helping each other out in the way that he did with you so routinely after the bombings. I mean, people were being so creative in the way they helped each other out. It was happening all the time.
An emergency, baby.
And now I wonder if we're all the way back to some kind of normalcy where we're a little bit suspicious of a kind of generosity that crosses a border. We'll pull back a little bit, you know, in that New York way. Well,
between September 11th and October 11th, there was this. Ooh, and now it's begun to recede in some strange way. New York City, 1981. 8 million people living in the state of emergency and didn't know it. New York City, 1991. 8 million people living in a state of emergency and did know it. 2001, New York City. 8 million people living in a catastrophe, wishing it go back to an emergency. Gong, 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 gong. Yes, friends, during this period, you may not want to be using Sheik's, Ramses, or Trojan condoms. You may like to try Uncle Sam's Old Glory American flag condoms. Keep it up for America. A flag on every condom. Hey, just watch that American flag get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Hallelujah.
Right in front of your eyes, that your sexy soulmate will salute your flag. Hey, buy them by the dozen. Send them to your friends and family who don't live in New York City. It's a wonderful conversation piece and belongs on every coffee table. So remember Uncle Sam's Old Glory American flag condoms. Keep it up for America. Keep that flag waving. Keep that flag unfold. To order 1-800-UNCLE-SAM. It's a little better for the women in Afghanistan today. But at what cost? Can you feel it? I think we feel this all the time. We don't need buildings to be blown up and innocent lives to be murdered to feel this. This is happening all the time. And from time to time, in emergencies, we emerge. And we take responsibility because we have the ability to respond. And we understand because we stand under it all. All is what we believe. But it isn't enough. Where are we going now? Is the war over? I'm not sure. Is this a war of many generations? Look, it's kind of finishing quickly. What do you mean it's finishing quickly? What? Now, if you can answer that important question of what, you can call us here at 212-209-2900 and help us shed more light, please. Take all your light right now into a little hand and rub it together and put it right on top of your head. And if you'd like to call us now or later at 212-209-200, maybe you can help us cats and kitties swim a little better in this shit sea that's happening right now. You dig? I know you dig. Dig, 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 dig.
your face.
It's Josh Allen, who's going to be here next week on Radio Unable, if Radio Unable is still here next week, because you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
You asked for someone to bring some light.
Please turn your radio down.
I did.
Bring some light. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I've written a prayer for all of those who are our leaders, those who are making the decisions in Mumia's case, those who are supposedly leading us through this war. And it's a prayer. Do you want me to read a prayer? Is it appropriate with the Reverend there?
Oh, the Reverend has just left, so you can do whatever you like.
Well, it's... Okay.
It doesn't have to be a prayer. It can be something more like an imprecation, if you'd prefer now.
More like an implication?
Imprecation, well, like... Yeah.
Well, like, this isn't exactly a Christian prayer. It's more a Hindu kind of yogic prayer.
Just begin. Prayer. I need a prayer. Please begin. I need a prayer, quick.
Well, anyway... I'm going to read it.
Go, spit it out.
We're not going to stop you.
Okay.
You think we were going to stop you?
Well, I don't know.
Hey, this is Radio Unnameable.
I don't know.
We'll have a little bath here.
Take a breath and begin.
Okay.
We don't mean to make you nervous. We want you to go ahead and do it. Just relax and do it with feeling. And with,
okay.
You know,
because it was written with feeling.
Of course.
And
it's not easy to call up a radio station in the middle of the night and... expose your heart.
That's true.
It takes a lot of courage.
Well, I'm not telling you my name.
Oh. If you don't begin to read that poem,
but there are people
we
who
have ways of
voice,
making to
right?
force you to read.
Okay.
You probably know that there are people listening who will recognize your voice.
Well, that's okay.
One,
that's
two,
okay.
It's a nice
three,
voice.
Begin.
O Saguna. Benevolent bestower of Shaktipat, you who have transformed true light of Nirguna into manifestation, life form, illuminating Maya's darkness, I am thrilled by the intensity of Shakti devoted to your indescribable enlightened spirit, known only by the meditative devotee, given for our transformation. You have shown on us, you have shown us the way to expanding consciousness. Your essence has mingled with our blood, a catalyst for Kundalini awakening. You are the moving image, becoming one without a second, universal aspect of truth. Your anxieties, depressions, worries are bound up in your desire to see others rise, not deviate from the path, enjoying bliss, removing their difficulties, your anger a thunderbolt for enlightenment. O impersonal divine Govindajaya, no injurious thoughts, no business mind, no economic cult, no exploitation, no hatred, free of these negative qualities, crystal clear picture of God, natural teacher, bring us from the field of multiplicity, eternal prosperity into the realm of unity. Teach us true grace. Lead us from animal passion to spiritual attraction. O Supreme Avatar, take from our hearts competition, jealousy, dissolve evil tendencies, disharmony, ignorance, egoism, misunderstanding, greed, lust, hatred. Let us float in the river of love, understanding, togetherness, selfless service, gratefulness, and compassion, the eternal flow of cosmic energy. Bring us into the presence of your light. Mirror for us, O Jiva Mukti, self, O Ganga, before returning to the heavenly abode from whence, O Lord, you came to set us free, O gentle Arogya Vidya.
Java Mukti.
There you go.
Wow.
Think he heard it?
Wow. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Wow.
Thank the source from which it came.
Yeah.
Who? Wow.
Java. Ma Amritananda Ramacharya.
Can we dedicate that to Spencer Holst?
Surely.
Oh.
Can dedicate it to everyone who is under the influence of evil and negativity and wrongdoing in these horrible times that we share.
Mm. Suppose they don't know that they're under the influence of...
This prayer has asked that they be enlightened to that.
I hope you're listening, Pacifica Board.
Yes, I do too. And any CIA infiltrators that may be involved.
May I ask your name, Masked Woman?
The name under which I wrote my prayer is Ma Amritananda Brahmacharya. I'm a sannyasi with the Yoga Society of New York.
Well, that's your name in religion, but... What do they call you when you're at home?
I have two names. Rita DiCarlo and Sweet Lorraine.
Well, under all those names, you're wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. And you are too. Okay.
You say that to all of the pretentious DJs. Thank you.
Oh, you guys aren't pretentious. You're the most down-to-earth DJs in the world.
Down.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
okay,
you.
Good night.
Down.
God bless.
You're on the radio.
Hello, gentlemen and ladies and people everywhere. How you doing, Rob?
All right. How
George
are you?
George again.
George again?
Yeah, well, about a month ago.
Uh-huh.
I told you I would probably see you on Abby's birthday, but I guess the party didn't happen that I know of. But nevertheless, happy birthday to Abby anyway. Couple days late.
That was November 29
or 30th, something like that,
something
right?
Something like that, yeah.
So,
those were great parties, right?
Yeah. Now they're own little single-cell parties, right? I guess we need some more poetry. I think that's a good night for that.
Well, are you going to contribute to it?
I'm throwing papers all over the place, maybe. Yeah.
All right. I have a few short stories, more short stories.
Oh, okay. Then I'll read a very short one.
I have some stuff by Babel and Peretz and Sholem Aleichem.
That's more than I know.
where do you hear these?
All right, let me just read one little short one.
Okay.
For the strangeness of, I don't know, man. What do you call our environment now? Is it like a...
It's
madness are us?
No, you have to remember, you're dancing to Amazing Grace and the Marine Corps hymn simultaneously. It's a new dance. We're all learning it. Take a breath and just kind of concentrate more on Amazing Grace. And I think that's the time we're in. But listen, let's be realistic mystics.
Thank you, Steve. All right, let's try. This is called Love Everybody. So love everybody. Do what you can. Listen for the future. Hear it if you can. Love. Dance to the darkness. Dance to the light. Fall in love with the future. Make love tonight. Love. There's starlight in common. No matter when you're blue. It's the way of light. The whole sky's blue, too. Love. If G said it's all right, then it can't be wrong. If G says war is over, then listen to the song. Love. Hear the voice of the oceans. Drown the voice of the gun. Hear the voice of the oceans. Drown voice of the gun. I guess that's it.
Ooh, thank you. What an audience, boy.
All right, Kimasabis, keep the faith, and thank you for surviving this. I'm not going to curse, but you know really what I want to say about the people who are, like, making that racket in the morning on this station. My God.
Oh, stop picking on them. They're not happy either.
Well, okay, let me shower them with blessings. What else can I do?
Golden shower.
That's my help.
All right, boys.
Bye-bye.
And girls.
And you're on the radio.
Well, well, well. Good evening, Cabal, as you folks say, if I may.
You may.
It sounds like a party. Reverend Billy, you've got, of course, Bill Propp and Bob Fast.
Well, you know, it's like one of those weddings, you know, after the Reverend leaves, the fun begins.
Yeah, prayers and all. Well, speaking of fun and speaking of a message to the Pacifica Board, as the listenership may know, the 22nd of December is the memorable day in the history of WBAI.
2-2, September 2-2?
I mean, I'm sorry, December.
December 2-2.
Pardon me, it's a little late. Working late, on behalf of the listeners, we are here at the Pacifica campaign. And hot off the press, we have an event to announce to the Cabal. December 22nd is a Saturday. There'll be a day of events to commemorate the Christmas coup, to commemorate our work and commitment. It will be chock full of laughs, maybe some poetry, maybe some prayers. Hopefully the presence of you good folks up on the 10th floor right now. I don't want to give too many details because I'll let other folks let the cat out of the bag over the next couple of weeks, but I will pass the phone here to the brains behind the project, Ms. Ursula Rudenberg, and she will, if I may, if you may give us a minute, explain how the listeners can help. Hold on a second.
I'm gonna put somebody else on with you because, after all, a second in radio time is so long. It's excruciatingly long. You're on the air, too. Hi.
Hey there.
Hi.
I figured I'd talk to Bob.
Well, this is Bob.
Bob Fass.
That's right.
Man, I haven't heard you in 10 years.
Well, where you been?
I couldn't get reception. Moved way down South Jersey.
Uh-huh.
What exit?
And
you're back now?
No, but I've tried every antenna system in the world, and never could get in. Went to the Bose radio thing, but finally upgraded my PC and put a wireless speaker system with the transmitter.
Next to
the
you're listening on your PC?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. High tech and all that happy crap.
Where? How far south in Jersey?
Ware Town.
Where?
You may well ask where Town is.
Where?
That's the name of the town, Ware Town.
As in beware.
No. It's pretty not beware. It's pretty laid back. It's kind of like being down south almost, except that they're piney people and stuff. Pretty odd stuff. But it was really nice to hear your voice. I haven't heard you in so long, man. You sound really healthy.
Well,
you don't sound any different.
You mean healthy in my head or...
Healthy in the head is a balanced decision. Like I said, I only had you in it for a couple of days now. So.
Is this Gary? No?
No.
How do you know what's healthy?
It's so great to hear your voice as well, sweetheart. I tell you, you know, we've missed you all these years, and as soon as I heard your voice, I said, it's him. He's back. He's found us again.
That aside, I want to just thank BAI because my children are the fourth generation of BAI listeners, and I never would have been able to raise my children without BAI as a single parent taking me through the night, man. BAI has been like a real friend to me and a real valued thing. And I don't know what they pay you. I don't think they do pay you.
That's right. They don't pay me.
But, you know, kudos to thee, you know.
Not even wage slavery.
Well, wage slavery is not bad. You know, it's like kind of underrated.
That's what it is.
Wage slavery is
what is.
Yep. So are you still pursuing the poetry thing?
Well, there's going to be a 70th birthday celebration for Jerome Rothenberg. When is that? On the... December 12th. Okay. And do you have a poem you want to read?
No, but I have a question about a couple artists I've been trying to track down. Mimi and Ron Cornelius. Largely associated with Leonard Cohen.
Sorry, I don't know them.
I think they work in Vegas.
Okay, well, I just wanted to check in. And, you know, like, this is the first time I've heard you. I've had BAI up over the PC for, like, around 24 hours. Not that I've been up for 24 hours listening to it, but I've had it available. And I just wanted to call in and say, man, thanks so much, man. There's just not too much else out there like BAI.
Well, thank you very much. And I just want to say we offer a prize every night.
Oh, yeah?
For the call that comes farthest out, you know, the farthest away.
Well, I'm just over the 60 mile skip from Rangoon. Oh, Rangoon?
Downtown.
Not tonight. That's really downtown. Yeah.
Downtown Rangoon is far out, man.
Yeah.
That's behind the store, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so are you sending one out for me this evening?
Well, send us your name and address.
Okay.
Okay, Bob Fass, WBAI.
Okay, and what is the prize? A coffee cup?
We'll think of something really repulsive.
We're growing it right now.
Okay, Mr. Mann.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ware.
Okay.
Oh, no. What is your name, may I ask?
My name?
Yeah.
Lee D'Arcangelo.
Lee D'Arcangelo. Thank you.
Ciao.
Bob?
Yes.
Hello? I'm sorry, she went to get something that she was going to read, and I cut her off inadvertently because, I'm so sorry. Please call back. You're on the radio. And you're on the radio. Hello?
Hi, Bob Pass?
That's right. Who's this?
This is Claudia. Am I on the air?
So far.
Yeah, how come when I stopped by the station not long ago, you acted like you didn't know me?
I've only seen you once or twice. You know, we don't hang out exactly. And I had some guests who were coming up, and I didn't want an audience.
That's why
I treated you like you were coming uninvited. That's why. Exactly why. Because you were... uninvited.
I was uninvited, that's true.
Yeah.
But in general, is it possible that I could be on the list of people like others who are able to come up to the studio and who do?
Only if you pass the light meter.
What?
Only if you pass the light meter.
Well, you wouldn't even give me your number, which you'd given me in the past. I thought that was... Anyway... I'm up in Springfield, Mass. I can't hear your program because I don't have a computer, which I won't probably get for a while.
What are you doing in Springfield, Mass?
I'm living in Springfield, Mass in a house owned by Andrew Hoffman, who's America's Soup Kitchen on Wheels, which I first heard about, and I met him on the airwaves in your program. And I got my most expensive piece of property yet, my bed. The king-size bed. Super firm, with a box spring, not box spring, what you call it, foundation, which comes in two pieces, frame and delivery, all for $500, which isn't bad.
And he's got those singing chickens there.
Is this an ad for the Mattress King, or one of those guys who sells mattresses on the...
No, it comes from a local person, and the company is called KMCI, which is a mattress manufacturer.
Okay, we don't take commercials on this station, Cloudy.
We've got those signals.
You're on the radio. Hello? Not yet, anyway. You're on the radio. Hello? 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Chances are you're asleep somewhere, but you're on the radio. Hi.
Yeah, Bob, I'd like to say about this...
Okay, Astro, I've been hoping you'd call back.
Yeah, one thing about this war, you know?
What war?
You know, like all wars, it reminds me...
Most of all?
It reminded me of World War One when both sides were gassed and our troops were being hit and their troops were being hit. And it reminded me of World War Two where our soldiers were exposed to radiation and the Japanese were exposed to radiation and the children are exposed to radiation experiments here. It reminded me of Vietnam with Agent Orange, our troops got that, the Vietnamese got that. Reminded me of the Gulf War, our troops were exposed to radiation in the tanks from the metal. And Gulf War syndrome, one third of the Gulf War troops got that. And God knows what our troops are going to come back from in the desert there. And the tanks being exploded and the radiation and the chemicals and all like that. So war is no good, obviously. During the Civil War, they used to wound soldiers and they had their amputations without anesthetics.
Please say something good about this world.
Well, you know what,
I think
the saying that we had back in the 60s was a very good saying. Patriotism is the last refuge of fools and scoundrels for the politicians, yell patriots, and the poor damn fools go to fight their wars. Poor people have wars and fight wars and have babies. Rich men's wars and have babies.
I'm going back to Mars.
Bye-bye.
You're on the radio.
Good morning, Bob Fass.
Good morning. I recognize that voice.
I recognize that voice anywhere.
Wait a minute. Are you the guy who's going to be performing tomorrow night, December 7th, at the Triad Lounge?
That's right. Very good. It's a day that will live in for me.
I told you not to call me here.
It's a day that will live in for me, December 7th, 2001, when Moogie's band with the Girl Singers, it's the all-girl singers band, me and three amazingly harmoniously talented female singers will be sharing the stage, doing all my songs in four-part harmony. Oh, there's a little singer in the background.
You're about to be upstaged.
Being upstaged by my son here.
That's little Georgia.
A little judgment, yeah. It's going to be a blast. It's at the Triad Lounge tomorrow, 10 p.m. You know, we'll be going for a while there. You can hear him. He's singing now. He's starting to sing already, this kid. 8 months old, you know. And we're going to have a great old time in the face of all the new repression and the military tribunals and the summary executions and the one-year anniversary of the Christmas coup.
Don't you love that repression? Doesn't it feel good? Does it make you feel like you the tingle wingle? I'm just so used to
in the face of 120 school teachers locked up in jail today because they refused to stop their strike. I mean, they're filling the prisons with school teachers. What could be more ridiculous, you know?
Well, in some countries, they fill them with lawyers.
Ah, that's a start.
Hairdressers are nice.
You know, I protest the whole idea that a school teacher is a criminal because they're striking for health benefits. You know, that's ridiculous in this increasingly ridiculous country. They have locked up in New Jersey over 100 school teachers, and they're going to be in there for, I think they're going to be serving a week, and then they're going to be brought before the judge, and if they're not willing to go back to teach, then they're going to be going back to jail for several more weeks. Now, I thought that was slavery, where if you didn't want to work, you got thrown in jail, or I don't know, had the master whip you, whatever. This is slavery. This isn't freedom.
You know about the closet billions?
What's that?
See, after September 11th, all these billions came out of the closet. The closet was ungestopped with billions, and all of a sudden, these billions and hundreds of millions in benefits that raised 30 million, 60 million, 40 billion, and 80 billion, and all these billions that have gone for this catastrophe. I mean, where was this money before that for these teachers? I mean, since it's clear that they keep saying it's education.
Well, they're spending the money mostly.
A well-paid teacher is an inspired teacher. A well-paid teacher feels they have self-image and self-worth. I'm being paid what I deserve. I make a wonderful contribution to society. I help educate the next generation. I have something to contribute, which is really real. And when I get paid for it and get paid for it well, I really believe I do my job even better. I mean, don't we all need that?
You're hard.
You're right. Mm-hmm. But then the people who run the school system say, you know, we can't have these teachers telling children that the important values in life are material. What we must do is make our teachers so poor and so impoverished that they make the staff at WBAI look as though they're well off.
No, no, that'll never happen.
No.
I don't know if they can get that poor, at least for the unpaid staff, who deserves to get paid.
Those people from the north have to stop being influenced by those people from the north.
Hmm. It's a tough road out there right now. New York City has decided to go along with the Bush edict of racial profiling and immediately interrogate 85 legally. Uh-oh, my son is singing. I guess he's upset about the new round of interrogations. The Bush administration is interrogating 5,000 young Middle Eastern males who entered the country legally in the past few years. And Bernard Kerik has decided to go along with this type of racial profiling where many cities across the country have now refused to do it because
at least two.
Two cities, okay. I know it's only okay. Two cities have refused to do the racial profiling.
Seattle and Detroit.
And if you are interrogated and they find you to be suspicious due to the new Bush edicts, Ashcroft edicts, you can be held without bail. You can be held without seeing a lawyer. If you see a lawyer, any meetings you have can be taped. Any correspondence with that lawyer can be read. You can be charged with a military tribunal and not know what the charges are against you or what the evidence is against you that they have. Trial could take place in secret. It can be done with a minority of the court. If the military tribunal court has five judges on it, then
it would only take
a majority, a simple majority, three of those judges to find you guilty. If only three judges show up that day, it would only take two of those judges to find you guilty. And then once you're found guilty, there are no appeals. Execution can be done. A date can be picked secretly, and you can be actually tried and summarily executed without anyone ever finding out it happened.
Tell me, sir, for all the things you've been saying about the current state of America, I'd like to know, for whatever reason, you continue to live here in this country for a man who's just like just thrown out a tremendous, fiery list of how the American people are trying to portray and survive themselves in the midst of a war where innocent people are being killed and we have to protect ourselves. But the way you have made this litany of aspects of American society at this particular time, I wonder what propels you, sir, to continue to live in this country. And if you can elucidate on that, I would love to hear what you have to say.
Well, poverty is one reason. We don't have the mobility necessarily to move out of here. My wife is from Germany, and I've been thinking about moving. But a Jew in Germany, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking. Like, for example, only 4 days ago they had a march of 3,500 German Nazis march through Berlin on the Jewish quarter. So this is
the apartments are very cheap in Paraguay.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I'm just some Nazi war criminal there, too. Look, I'm thinking about just getting out of New York.
I don't have brown rice. That's the hang-up.
I'm thinking about just getting out of New York City because they keep telling us about the dirty bomb.
We have to stick together here. We have to unite all our light. I mean, my God, I mean, we as legal aliens, that's what we are, legal aliens, I mean, they've made our job very tough for us at this particular time. As Humphrey Bogart would say, all this war, bullshit, and repression makes my job even tougher, sweetheart. And if Humphrey is saying stuff like that, what do you expect the rest of the fall behind there and move on and be good legal aliens and put up the fight nonviolently and raise the consciousness of the folks so someday we're going to stop going da-da-da-da-da. And I think that would be very good if we could do that. Continue to do that. On land, on sea, and in the air, especially in the air.
Well, you know,
you didn't hear while you were speaking, Steve. George
George
said George Woogie's baby said something, and you didn't. You just like
it was lovely.
I'll translate. Yeah. He said, "Shut up and let my daddy talk."
I see. Right. Okay.
I think Bob, he's smiling, listening to you. I think he recognizes your voice.
Hey, Georgie.
Look at him. He's going nuts there.
Hey,
you know, the thing about the new laws with the military tribunals, they first let us think that they would be used only on people captured overseas, like in Afghanistan or something. But it turns out any American that's not, doesn't have citizenship papers, anybody in America that doesn't have citizenship papers, for example, if you only have a green card, you can be taken away in a military tribunal and secretly tried and executed. Now, that's, you know, tens of millions of Americans that this thing reaches out to. And then you get a situation like American in the Taliban army that was recently captured. His name was John something from San Francisco.
Walker.
Like, will they, you know...
Johnny
now,
Walker.
John Walker. Well, they're talking about military tribunals for John Walker. So, you know, what starts as, it's not going to be me, could ultimately end up affecting all of us, right? Like, first they took away the communists and no one complained. Then they took away the... homeless and no one complained, and they took away the squeegee people and no one complained. Well, by the time they take you and me away, there'll be nobody left to complain, right? So, you know, it's a real slippery slope, and George Bush is the president to expand executions. Like, this guy had a record in Texas that was, you know, he held the record for the most executions ever by one governor of any state in the history of this country. He's a bloodthirsty guy. Hey, let's face it.
But what do you like about this country?
What do I like about this country?
I want to tell you, I feel safer because of a new regulation that the DEA is going to be enforcing.
Oh?
The DEA has moved to ban foods with hemp. It will be illegal to sell or import hemp-containing foods under a new rule of the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. And the Law Journal, where this story is, puts in parenthesis DEA, just in case you know who they're talking about. The DEA says it is interpreting and enforcing an existing rule which doesn't require formal rulemaking changes and procedures. The critics charge that the agency is simultaneously soliciting comments for a new rule with the same wording, and in effect, it published the rule in the Federal Register on October 6th. The foods are being banned for import or sale because they contain traces of THC, the primary active constituent of marijuana. DEA Administrator Asa Hutchinson has also said that many Americans do not know that hemp and marijuana are both parts of the same plant, and that hemp cannot be produced without producing marijuana, at least according to a DEA state. George, we all agree that you're much too young to even hear of marijuana. I mean, get that child out of the room. Tate, what's that
He's
child doing
a lot
up
now that you're talking
listening
about
to
that? I don't know why. But...
Several hemp food products manufactured, manufacturers in the Hemp Industry Association, their trade groups, have asked the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit for an emergency stay of the enforcement of the rule. They also seek formal review of the rule, which is 66 Federal Regulation 51530 et sec. Federal appeals courts are the designated forums for challenging agency rules making actions. The DEA has given the manufacturers and retailers for consumer hemp products until February 6th to dispose of their inventory. Smoke that scarf. Those shoelaces, those hemp shoelaces that some people get rid of them. Smoke them. Oh, products on the market that the DEA says are affected by the action include some beers, cheeses, coffees, corn chips, energy drinks, flours, ice creams, snack bars, salad oils, sodas, and veggie burgers. What are you in for? I made some veggie burgers. Oh, yeah? What are you in for? Oh, they got me with some corn chips, energy drinks, flowers, ice cream. Manufacturers say that there is no measurable THC content in these foods under tests available when Congress passed the Controlled Substances Act. The suppliers say that hemp is used in food products because the seeds are a high-quality source of protein, and the hemp seed oil contains a variety of heart-healthy essential fatty acids not found in other food products. The DEA describes the rule as an interpretation of that statute and of the DEA regulations under which the Administrative Procedures Act, APA, requires no formal rule-making procedures. It's like the judge announcing the verdict before the trial, says John A. Young of Washington. D.C.'s Sandler Young, representing a group of American and Canadian companies making and selling hemp food products as petitioners with his partner, Joseph E. Sandler, and solo practitioner Patrick Goggin as legal counsel. Sandler says that under the APA statute, the rule is clearly substantive in nature, a categorization which requires a formal rulemaking hearing or else notice to the public and an opportunity for comment. Petitioners charge that the DEA is avoiding the proper regulatory procedures by issuing this dual rule. A DEA spokesman declined to comment, deferring to the press advisory statement posted at the DEA website at www.deA.gov. The comment period for the immediate proposed rule ends on December 10th. A 1998 seizure of hemp birdseed led to more than 2 years of extensive interagency tussles in which certain factions argued for conformity with international trade standards on hemp, and other agencies insisted on a zero threshold level. In November 2000, DEA announced its plans to publish more restrictive rules. Those rules, published on October 9th, ban the sale or importation of hemp products that enter the human body because the DEA says the products contain THC traces. Sandler says that the Congress never intended to apply bans on hemp products to microscopic traces detectable by modern analytic methods. He noted that poppy seeds are exempted from the Controlled Substances Act, even though they contain trace opiates, and that fruit juice has trace amounts of natural alcohol, but is not subject to liquor laws. Apart from trying to stop imposition of the DEA rule, David C. Frankel, a San Francisco attorney and Hemp Industries Association board member, said that the trade association members are looking to work with the DEA to set up protocols that do not interfere with legitimate law enforcement without forcing our products off the shelves. The Family Research Council, a conservative advocacy organization, has submitted papers in support of the DEA rules. Robert McGinnis, the council's vice president for policy, said that the hemp issue is being used to camouflage a marijuana decriminalization, legalization agenda. There's that word again. They love that word, agenda. And there are ample substitutes for hemp products. What could that be? What are the substitutes for hemp products? I don't know of any substitutes for hemp products. Maybe they say...
hash.
What?
Hash products.
Hash products, maybe. McGinnis says that legalization of hemp products sends a pro-drug message to children. George, are you listening?
I'm listening, yeah.
On November 8th, Rose A. Brisenko and Wayne Robb senior trial attorneys with the DOJ's Narcotic and Dangerous Drugs Section filed an opposition motion to the request for an emergency stay. Petitioners filed a reply to the opposition brief on November 15th. Well, stay tuned. That's going to be on Court TV, I'm sure. Don't you think that's a good place for that hearing? Maybe CNN or C-SPAN? I doubt you'll see it, though. Doubt you'll see it. Well, so you're going to be at the Triad Lounge tomorrow night with your all-girl orchestra. And
yeah, it's a fun thing, and we want to thank you for coming down to one of our last gigs and introducing the band. You know, like that was a real pleasure for a lot of people who were at the gig to see Bob Fass, the legend, showing up the first.
Let me tell you, Moogie, when I think of that music that you played that night, the hairs still stand up on the back of my neck.
Wow.
I can hear George has heard you play, too.
Yeah. George, yeah. In fact, we had George did a little guest set with us when the bass player broke. He hears you calling his name. He's talking.
George, you're going to be talking soon.
Georgie. Got the phone here. No, what I was saying. He's figuring out how to say it.
How old is George?
He's 8 months, you know?
Steve, you have a son. Do you remember when your son first said no, 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 no?
I remember when he first said Baba.
Trying to say Ma, you know? He doesn't eat.
He has stage you too, your son.
Ma. He loves his mama.
Baba.
He sat in with us. We did a gig. The bass player broke a string, and I sang my lullaby song to George, and my wife brought him on stage, and he kind of stood on top of the piano and kind of smiled and danced a little while I did the song. So he's already broken into show business at age 6 months. He wants to be a talk show host or a talk show caller, you know. I think, George, you're talking more than I've heard in quite a while. I think he's very concerned about the world situation. I'm gonna actually translate. He's saying, world situation a mess, right, George? Yes, he's agreeing with me. He just can't get the words out.
Shaking his head, yeah.
He says he wants peace now, you know. And he wants to go see Reverend Billy, but he wants to be Reverend Billy probably when he grows up. Maybe it's a Jewish, the Rabbi Billy.
What do they say? This is radio for changing diapers?
Right, radio. And somebody asked me what I love about America, and I would have to say that would be Radio Unnameable. The Bob Fass Show.
Aren't you?
As I loved the Amy Goodman Democracy Now! And the incredible Al Lewis Show. And as long as, you know, Bob's still there.
And Wake Up Call.
And the Wake Up Call Show and the Mimi Rosenberg, Ken Nash, Labor Report, and even
Help.
The Bob Lederer
Help
Show.
Action when it was intact. And
yeah,
the Asia-Pacific Forum.
They're just coming at us in America in so many ways, you know, the movies.
And, of course, Cat Radio Cafe.
They're still with us.
And Mike Fader.
Okay, Mike Fader.
And David Rothenberg.
David Rothenberg, the recently attacked, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and these were the people raising funds. They're coming under the gun. But, you know, the thing is, we still got to fight the good fight. The board hasn't resigned. The board is still very bored and still continuing to keep people like Amy Goodman and the Fired in the Band from returning to the airwaves. And we're looking at the December 22nd, one-year anniversary of the Christmas coup, as a sign that hopefully the very towards the end of this struggle to win back the radio station for the people and to give Bob Fass the Beachhead Award of... I think he's trying to say something to you.
He's trying to say, shut up with that stuff.
He's saying enough about praising Bob Fass.
Yeah, enough. Hey, will you take that kid to see Santa Claus?
He wants to talk. He said, Bob, you know, he hears your voice and he recognizes you from your visits here when you sat him on your lap and said funny things to him. Like, he heard your voice come out over the radio and, man, his ears both, like, perked up, you know? And, to get back to the
Don't subject. Worry, Moogie, he'll outgrow it.
To get back to the subject at hand, that this Christmas season, this holiday season, we want to remember the poor and the vanquished and the starving all over the world, but we also want to remember the fired and the banned and hope that this December 22nd, when we unfortunately have to celebrate the first anniversary of the coup, that it'll be close to the end and that we will, in the coming days and months, get the station back for the people, Bob.
I was at Charis last night. Had a meeting of the local advisory board, and they're really very interesting and admirable people, you know, all of them.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well, it was cold as blazes. I mean, you can't imagine how cold the basement of Charis can get, even on a warm day.
Wow.
But these people sat through that cold meeting and were warm and laughing and, you know, disputatious and respectful of each other. It was really a great meeting. One of the ones I've enjoyed most in all the meetings that I've had to go to. What, are you planning on leaving or something? You're,
yeah, it's like 2 o'clock already.
Uh-huh.
It's like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, well, we'll be here till 3:30.
Yeah.
But,
Stephen Ben Israel, he has a son that can talk also. My son's just starting to talk. Your son, how's his talking coming along?
He speaks well.
So you have a record of him there? You could play it.
I don't play a record of him here. Let's see. Yes, I do. I have a promo.
Let's hear a little of your son, Stephen, because my son is babbling. Maybe your son can babble.
I don't know what's on this one. Here, you just open this shit, man. Here, if you want to play it, I don't know.
Oh, I can't reach it. Oh, okay, there it is.
It's just bits and pieces from the promo. Bits and pieces from the promo.
He's a rapper, isn't he?
Is my son the rapper?
I'm one of the best on the planet. I just need to make the rest understand it. I show and prove no need to demand it. I show and prove no need to demand it. I break all stereotypes when I get to stereo hype. I tend to end conflict like a peace pipe, cause I breathe light and transform the dark to bright. I excite like a woman at night and transmit the big picture like a satellite. I'm one part enthusiastic of the walking observer, a fast learner with better communication than Ted Turner. Well, I'm a head turner. Have you seen, did you see that man rip shit? The one with the vision and he's gifted. Have your reality shifted. I speak smoke and leave you lifted. After I depart, you hear the echo of my heartbeat like an 808. So stay awake, I enter sleep state. With each beat I make mine. When I rhyme, it's complete faith. The way that I shine, that I shine, shine. What? Freestyles to bring a smile to your child's eye, cause I'm connected to my inner child, the inner style that's far from a trend. When your mind's on the infinite, you never end like a loop. I had to check my self-worth, now I attract loot. I'm making history boom. I perfected the code, so I know I'll compute. I'm nutritious like soup, a delicacy. Self-mastery's a sure way to end jealousy. I balance my chemistry. I'm living my life adventurously. I'm not a slave to systematic intensity. Live life expensively. I live mentally.